Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hello, hello, our unhinged friends. I'm Jenny, a reality TV producer in Los Angeles.
And I'm Sam, a psychotherapist in New York City. We're best friends and Bravo super fans.
And we're here to take you behind the scenes into the minds and lives of your favorite reality TV stars.
This is Unhinged
and On Camera.
Welcome back, everyone. Sam is here.
This is our last episode of the summer.
Yes, we are slow rolling the end of summer. We're going to talk House of Stassi today. We both binged it while both of our sons on opposite coasts of the country had fevers.
Yes.
But I'm glad we're like are doing this like a week or so out or more than that than when we watched it, because it's different, like, binging it than I would say, like, watching it on Bravo.
And well, like, yeah, I'm curious first your feelings about that, because I feel like Hulu with these, it's interesting because Hulu has some shows that it kind of, like, slow puts out. Like, I'm watching The Furious Show. I don't know if you're watching it. It's
no.
So good, and you should watch it. It's really good. It's with Emmy Rossum, and that's coming out, like, weekly, or, like, Project Runway is coming out weekly. And yet it feels like the reality shows like Secret Wives of Mormon Wives and now House of Stassi are just kind of being like thrown out all at once. And I guess I'm curious from a like production standpoint, what your thoughts are that versus like the weekly kind of like slow roll.
It is interesting because now they're going to do this like podcast too with Not Skinny, Not Fat. And like they're building like basically their reality TV universe, which I think is really cool. And I have a lot of thoughts on it. But yeah, the drop everything, it really distinguishes them from Bravo. And so I think that's why they do it, especially on the docu-soap side.
Mm.
It definitely influences how I watch things. Like if House of Stassi was every week, I feel like I would have fallen off and not really watched it. but maybe not. I don't know. I mean, I loved The City, and The City was kind of a slow burn too. Like there wasn't a lot happening in it in a way. But I lose track of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Like, I didn't even watch the last season. Because the full drop and then everyone reacting online to the next day, it's, like, overwhelming. Like, I can't watch that many episodes in, like, 2 days.
That is my feeling. I feel like sometimes when I see a show, I'm like, I wish I had access to all of it at once. And then when I have these shows that I do have access to all of them at the once, I'm kind of like, I wish I had a slower access to this. Because I also feel a little bit with House of Stassi, like, I watched it all back to back to back. And so I didn't give myself time, and I didn't watch it all one day. It was like over 2 days or something, but still it was so back to back. There's no time to like sit and process the episodes. And so I'm curious sort of now as I'm going to like slow down and reflect on it, like what that's going to feel like. But it feels like I'm like not fully taking in all the content because I'm just like, okay, yeah, on to the next. So I think I'm kind of anti it. I think, you know, I always thought that I wanted it all, but now I'm realizing having it all isn't having it all.
I mean, maybe because I don't have as much time for TV anymore either. I feel like I get a little overwhelmed with the binge, and I tend to like watch one episode a week anyway. So it's kind of like better for me. But with House of Stassi, it's interesting because I feel like there was an initial, oh my God, this show is so interesting. Oh my gosh, it's breaking the fourth wall. It's telling the real story. It's like BTS of reality TV. I love that. And then now we're getting the backlash. Like New York Magazine wrote an article that was about how the show was about nothing and like nothing happened. And
the show was about like making a show. And the question is like, is that interesting? And part of what was coming up for me was like, I really had a hard time knowing what was real. And I think that's maybe the most complicated part about kind of being behind the scenes, is I did find myself like questioning what was real and what was not real. And when I'm watching other reality shows, like, I know all of it isn't, like, real. I know there's, like, produced moments, but I'm not, like, looking for them. Where this, I started to, like, look for, like, what feels, like, produced, and maybe not even produced by the producers, but produced by Stassi herself.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting just to pick up from our last podcast, because the Vanderpump Revisited was just a funny one-off that, like, ended up being perfect setup for this, like, conversation. Because, you know, we were talking about how, you know, how do we, like remove the fourth wall in a way that's, like, more interesting and more real. And it's ironic that they did that, and you felt like it prompted you to question it more. And then the other thing was, like, we were talking about, is this, like, what were you calling it in therapy when it's, like, trauma revisited, like, trying to control? Yeah. What was it?
Oh, like a trauma re-experiencing or a trauma repetition.
Yes. Repetition. Yes. And, like, because I was like, it just seems so weird that you would say, like, reality TV kind of ruined my life, but let me do it again, but on my own terms. But I
mean, it definitely confirmed my thoughts about it being, like, this trauma repetition. Like, Stassi, even her, like, role modeling Kris Jenner feels like she's like, I'm going to come into this in a way that I can control my experience of it. And what happens and how I feel and what people think. And, like, I can control all the things that potentially, like, and I don't know all the things that exactly traumatize her. I'm naming the,
yeah,
sort of the obvious things. I imagine it's even, like, deeper than things I can name. But I'm going to control the things that traumatize me in Vanderpump Rules and make sure that I have, like, power over a traumatic experience. And I guess we don't know if, like, she succeeded. In some ways, it seems like maybe she succeeded, but I don't.
What,
I don't,
after that boat scene at the end?
I think it goes back to me not knowing what's real.
Well, let me give a little backstory or some BTS that you don't really hear, but I feel like is very interesting. It's like, she was an executive producer on the show, and that is really unheard of. Like, when you think about her position, you're really only talking about Kris Jenner. Like, there is very few people in reality TV that, especially on this type of show, a docu-soap, that would be able to have, like, final cut approval, be able to watch in a creative way and give notes and be the star. And I feel like there's a reason for that. And you saw a lot of those reasons off the show. But also, I was shocked because she didn't really make herself look good. I will say she gave me more cred as a reality star that she allowed a lot of the stuff that ended up in the show to be in the show. Because it was, well, also, that, like, not make her look good.
Well, I think make herself look good is also very subjective, because I think, you know, this gets into, like, more Stassi, like, as an actual person. And I have a lot of, like, I'm really curious to dive into her as, like, an individual and, like, who she is. That, like, I don't know if she sees some of the things that we see and are like, oh, what? What is, like, you're coming off kind of, like, entitled or bossy or cruel. Like, I don't know if she sees those in the same way that, like, you or I might see them or other viewers might see them. Like, even in the way we see her have conflict, like, she doesn't ever see herself as the problem in conflict. And I think there's, like, a deeper thing there about her and her mother that we can get into that I think is interesting. And I went back and watched this scene from season 7 of Vanderpump Rules when her and her mother have this, like, big fight at the dinner table, and her mother basically enacts every scene we've seen of Stassi in conflict with people. And even Stassi, I think at some point in the scene, is like, oh, I'm, like, looking at my mom and I'm seeing, like, versions of myself, which I feel like was somewhat self-aware. But I get this feeling that she doesn't fully see herself as the problem in her relationships. And she, like, has this, like, dissociative or disconnected quality to her own behavior that yeah, I don't know if it was like a choice of like, I'm going to leave this in because I want it to like look real. I think she's like, yeah, that's just like, I was right.
Well, it's interesting you say that because Jamie Stein surprisingly is covering this on his podcast. Definitely go over and listen if you have time. He really only covered like the first three episodes. Like he's going to do a real slow roll of it. And he only did like a solo of just, you know, those first few episodes. And his whole thing was like, she's always like laughing and like sort of making fun of herself, but in things that are like not funny and like dead serious, like Bo not being loved or being canceled, which we'll definitely get into, and like just laughing it off, like, ha ha ha. He did this thing that I was dying when I was listening to it. He was like, ha ha, I'm just basic bitch with my ranch dressing. And I was like, no, you did not just do that. That was some shade. But yeah, I mean, I feel like you're right. There's certain things I think she's interpreting differently than, and again, maybe that will be helpful to her. I mean, she makes this whole big deal that she changed, but we see none of the change, I feel like.
Yeah, I just feel like we see her in a different context. I don't think I've seen her, like, at least what was shown to me in this, she doesn't seem like this fully changed person. We're now just seeing her in a new stage of life, which I think no matter what, as we grow, she's married, she has children, there's going to be some like natural changes that come from that context. We're seeing her with a group of friends who, as Katie says, are all on her payroll to some capacity. And so therefore she again has like way more control over those dynamics than she did in Vanderpump Rules. And so, yeah, it's really hard to say. We're seeing a change, Stassi, and I think that's been kind of a criticism a lot of people have said of like they kind of tuned in hoping she had changed and are disappointed that there hasn't been enough change. But yeah, I don't see like deep change. And we see her throughout the whole season. Different people in her life are recommending like consider going to therapy. And she's so rejecting of therapy. And to me, it's like this really deep fear of letting her vulnerability be seen. Like there's such a deep of even when she's talking about her couples therapy, like that she's like begrudgingly going to and kind of minimizing like, oh, we had to do this art project together. Like, ah, oh. And it's like, yeah, I could see on the surface where maybe that feels like silly or petty. But like you are downgrading a moment that is likely supposed to be about like connection between you and your husband and putting a joke on it because you don't want anyone to see that there may be some vulnerability underneath that. And I feel like we see that throughout this show, like even the show becomes an object for her to defend against vulnerability of being canceled or fired or whatever. Or right. It like becomes this thing of like, look, I've acknowledged my wrongs and I'm here to like be a different Stassi, but all I'm being different in is that I'm acknowledging that there's a show that I'm trying to make, and so I'm kind of using the show to like reason or excuse my behavior because I need to behave a certain way to make the show interesting. And it becomes like a new defense of like, I don't have to get more vulnerable because I'm making a show.
Well, yeah, let's talk about the fourth wall breaks because the interviews were, I loved how they, as a writer, because it was scripted, I loved how they kind of tied together the show. I liked the fourth wall breaks. There were times that I felt like I was watching a development project. I will say,
I do think that was the purpose too. Like, I think there was some intention to that.
Well, and I will say, like, Stassi talks about how she was trying to sell this show for a while, and they were like, well, if you do Vanderpump Villa, we'll like consider it. And so she just leaked like a press release that it was greenlit. And it wasn't. And I think the show was originally called Stassi Says, but I was trying to find it online and I couldn't. But I thought it was going to be more about her and like her friends. And here's the thing where I think it went wrong. I think Hulu is doing this thing where they sort of like with the mom talk, where they're like, will mom talk survive this? I kind of felt like with Stassi, they're trying to create this sort of like this brand that's sort of this campy, we're a show within a show and we create these kind of fake stakes and that's like funny. And like it works sometimes and it doesn't work other times. And to me, even though at times I felt like it was working, they just did it too much. Like, the whole show was about Stassi. We didn't get any side scenes without Stassi in them, basically. I think there was one scene with Taylor and her wife about how she couldn't leave to, like, be there for the birth of her child because she had to shoot a reality show. For why? Who was forcing her to shoot this reality show other than, I guess we're saying Stassi, but then that
her payroll. Stassi is her payroll.
But then
her getting most offended by Katie's comment is like, thou dost protest too much, my love.
But it's and also kind of reveal like the short shooting window that reality shows have now, which is primarily and only because of budget reasons. We used to shoot, like when I worked on Teen Mom, we would shoot all the time, just go back and forth for a year. And now it's like there's no budget for that. So they go out for 6 weeks and like we got the show. But It's insane because you're shooting a show that you would miss the birth of your child. How is that a reality show? How is that reality? You're being forced to be in LA to shoot a dinner scene?
Mm-hmm.
To shoot a dodgeball scene? Like, you're going to miss the birth of your child to shoot a dodgeball scene for Stassi's reality? Like,
I personally could have done without the Taylors. I don't know. I didn't find them interesting. I didn't find them dynamic. I feel like, again, the only scene that felt like it could have been interesting was this dynamic between Taylor and Katie, where she was feeling threatened by Katie's presence, which makes complete sense because Katie is more interesting just historically. Like, I don't know you, Taylor. I don't, like, why should I be interested in you besides, like, you're on Stassi's payroll?
Well, I was interested a little bit in, like,
yeah,
the pregnancy and the fact that she was like, I'm not,
but I feel like they were sharing that.
But that's what I'm saying. That's my issue with the whole show. When Rob came out with that insane story about, like, I got this girl pregnant, but she wasn't pregnant. And it was like, well, we haven't seen anything of your life. So, like, we don't care about you. But, like, then why show that whole story? But then, and then, like, I also want to comment on, like, the Georgie and Rob of it all when they were like, are you sleeping together? And then they show a clip from the sizzle or the pitch.
Where they're like, they don't know we've been hooking up for 6 months or something.
Yeah, but then there was no follow-up. There was no, like,
well, then they just kept denying. Well, there was follow-up. They kept, like, bringing it up, whether they were hooking up or not, and they just kept denying it. And then there was no, like, resolve. There was no, like, this now has come out that we've, like, hooked up and we have to, like, I thought there would be, like, a conflict around that where it'd be like, how dare you, like, hook up with my sister? And that never happened.
Well, she's okay. But if we're breaking the fourth wall and she's the producer of the show and that is the basis of, like, how she would learn things, she would have seen in the pitch tape them saying that and could say, I saw in the pitch tape you said that. So what's the true story? Like, that's the part where it's like, it didn't, like, they...
Well, see, that might be have been a choice of Stassi's, right? Like, that's not interesting to me. I don't care about that. Like, right? Like, there's something of, like, her being in that role that maybe she got to decide what was interesting. And if it didn't center her, then it got left on the floor. And then it looks like she did Taylor dirty, because then it's like, instead of really going into her story of her, you know, situation with her wife and this baby and the biological, like, she was like, let's just, like, do the quick moment where you're telling her you're choosing me over her and your baby, and, like, that's what we're gonna show. Like,
there was a clear choice.
Like, if you think about that on a deeper level, like, the potential, like, narcissism in that is, like, dark.
Well, that's where I have to think that this was a bigger decision on Hulu, the production company, the producer, Stassi included, to kind of just make the show about the show. Mm-hmm. And to me, it worked in places, but it was way too overdone. And I think it's funny because, again, the initial reaction of people who binged it in one weekend was like, that was really creative and different. And I did feel like that at first. Mm-hmm. But I love to see this slow roll because, again, that New York Magazine piece was completely on point. It was like nothing happened.
Have been overdone, because I think that's something they can, like, regulate from. Like, I think that they did need to kind of like overdo it to a point because they're trying to like do something new and see what hits and see what works. And I kind of respect that they didn't play it safe and they're like, let's just throw it all, like kind of like all the creativity, all the weird ideas, all the like rule breaking out. And then in the next season, we can kind of like edit down and figure out what worked, what didn't work. Like, I don't know. I kind of like on retrospect, it's like I'm okay with it not having been like a, like they're experimenting with something. And I really appreciate that.
Well, and it was a smart tactic because the ratings have been crazy. They did something different. People are talking about it, good or bad. Getting talked about now is...
Well, it's like what we're always talking about, Bravo, like stop playing it safe, like do something, like take a risk. And they really are doing that. And so, yeah, I kind of respect
that. But I guess it goes back to your question of dropping all at once or once a week. I think Bravo has the luxury of like they have a brand that people are invested in and they can do the once a week drop. I don't think House of Stassi would have been as successful as it was if they did the once a week drop because the show, each episode was not interesting enough to sustain, I felt like.
Maybe, but I don't know. We're in like, they kind of had good timing that they like put it out during the summer when there's not like, you know, the city's over, Summer House is over, all the big Bravo stuff is over. Right now, what do we have? We have Next Gen, which is great. But like, other than that, like, who's getting excited to watch like the OC?
Oh, God. Snooze fest.
It's interesting that it's coming on the heels of the Valley ending. And so they could have, I feel like, and people would have invested enough because I think there's like not enough content right now that people would have been like, OK, this can like take the place of like four other things I watched, you know, like. And it's
that's a huge
effort to watch. So I don't know. I think people would like people, the same people who watched it binged would have probably watched it all like as it rolled out.
Yeah. But I think you're right. It's about breaking through the noise now because everyone just wants to be talked about so that they get more ratings. So people watch it. And yeah, it's interesting because like the shows I'm working on now, a lot of conversations like make it funny, memeable, blah, 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 because everyone just wants that. They know that this show is make or break based on reactions on the internet, which kind of is been a thing in reality TV for a long time. Like I've done shows where Twitter had like a huge reaction and we would have to open the cuts to re-edit things on like Twitter notes basically. So it's always been a thing. So I don't feel like it's disruptive, but you're kind of making the show for the audience and for like internet reactions. I mean, they definitely broke through.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
The noise. So let's get into like now Stassi, because we've talked about the structure of the show.
Yeah.
Do you want to start with her relationship with her family or her relationship with Bo?
Let's do Bo, because I feel like that's a really important one. And we can, and I think it's informed by the relationship with her family. And so we can kind of start with Bo and then integrate the family stuff.
I will say starting out, because that last episode, there was like, obviously the comment about her kind of being mom shamed and her being like, my kids are hard. And I recently saw an interview where she was like, I'm with my kids every night. Like it was wild the way the whole show was edited again because she has her two cents in it. Like, we never really saw any scenes with the kids aside from Bo and that FaceTime being overwhelmed with the kids. And then also what I thought was weird was like, I kind of got the sense that like maybe because it was Bo's comment where he was like, could you handle the kids like dinner time and going to bed by yourself? And that like was like, is she not even like a present parent? Does she not do like even normal like things? And then she was like, no, I'm with my kids every night. And then that just left me a little confused. But I will say I really did respect that she put out a narrative that was like, I am the primary breadwinner. I'm not the primary parent. That's our, because I feel like right now the pressure on moms is just insane. Obviously, we've been talking about the Lindsay Clancy trial all week, like who hasn't? So to see a strong woman who's like, no, I love working. And you know what? Like there is times when I'm with my son and I'm like, I like love him and I love being with him, but I'm not like a natural kid oriented person. Like I've always been into adult conversations and like adulting.
Hey, I'm not here for the mom shaming. I think if any decision she made as an executive producer, like one thing I feel like she might have done was said, I don't want my kids to be on here too much in production of them. And so I really respect that. And that tells me, I do think it's kind of easy to project some idea that she sees her children as like accessories, like especially when you see her Instagram, like her kids are in all the pictures and it's showing like the Instagram perfect family life. And so it's easy to kind of project like, oh, does she just see them as accessories? Like, what is really happening here?
Yeah, when you say, oh, you couldn't do dinner and bedtime two kids, dinner and bedtime. It's tough. I get it. But it did kind of, when Bo said that, kind of felt like, can she not really parent solo her kids? Is that what he's trying to say?
Right. And if she can't, does that mean she has a bad mom? Like,
no, I don't feel that way.
Right? Like, I don't think that's like fair because like, would you judge a dad in that same way if he wasn't able to do it solo? Like, would
and
it be
that's
like,
that's what I loved.
And I do think we're kind of like looking at this like role reversal where Stassi is the breadwinner. Bo is the stay at home parent who's kind of saying like, I'm not happy being the stay at home parent. I need to find a sense of self outside of the home. And what I think is interesting, more interesting than like what's happening, because I don't want to judge the parenting. And I feel like the intention of not like centering their kids was to say like, that's a private part of our life. Like we want to keep that private because those are children and we want to protect them. And that feels really valid to me. And so what I am more interested in is the dynamic between her and Bo when Bo kind of comes to her and says like, I'm not happy being a stay-at-home dad. Like, this isn't fulfilling me. And the way that she internalizes that with, like, such fear of, like, what, like, I don't feel safe if you go to work. And I thought that was really interesting. And I wish the show would have spent a little more time kind of unpacking that.
Because it's more than that, right? Because even like the emo night, granted, it was also about Katie, but like wouldn't go. But that was something he really loved. And the dodgeball, he really loved.
Well, it's interesting that she wouldn't go to emo night, but she goes to all these other things. And again, kind of fuels this idea. And it's interesting that she says, I ghosted Katie because Katie made everything about her. But it's like she's only going to events that like pay her.
Or she wants to go to, yeah.
I imagine pay her.
Emo night was not, I think they should have paid. I would have died to see.
I mean, it was going to be part of the show. So it's like, why wouldn't you just go? Like, why wouldn't you like go and show a fun side of her? But like, doesn't serve her. Doesn't serve her personality. It doesn't serve her bottom line of like projecting her brand, right? Like go, even if it like became a scene in the show, it doesn't like further her brand.
Well, and I think that goes to a bigger issue with Stassi in general, where it feels like everything needs to be controlled by her. I mean, even like,
but that's the part that I think is related to what I was talking about her fear of him going to work. Is like, I'm going to lose some sort of control over like the house, over the kids, over you, Bo. Like this thing that's like clearly really like resonated, and it feels like such a trauma response. And that's where I feel like it's related to like the cancellation caused a really deep trauma for her of like, I need to be in control of like the perception of everything, because if not, I could like lose everything. But then I think it goes even deeper into like this family sense, right? Like what, like her family dynamic is so interesting. Like her mom and her dad were married and then they separated, and then her mom married somebody else and then had her siblings. And I don't know who she grew up with or who she lived with, or like, I wish I knew more about like what it was like for her younger.
Well, you know, she was on Amazing Race, right?
Yeah, with her dad.
Yeah, and his family. Yeah.
And her brother from her mom and her dad, I think.
Which I guess we've never seen, right?
What do we feel about this conflict between her and Bo and the way they're showing it? Like, for me, what was coming up was it feels really authentic the way Bo is sharing his vulnerability of being a stay-at-home parent and how that's causing an identity crisis for him. And, you know, Stassi's inability to really like hear, like she kept hearing like, but I'll just pay you. Like, she kept hearing that it was like about money or about even like ego, male ego, where and it kind of goes to my theory about her and vulnerability. Like, there's no like slowing down. Let me take in like what this means to him, what it means to his identity, what it means to like his sense of self. It was sort of like, no, let me just pay you. I'll pay you whatever salary. I'll do this. I'll do that. And then it makes me think of that Christmas scene, right, where they're doing the Christmas tree. And then Beau's like, OK, I'm going to go to this interview. And the level of avoidance that led to that moment from Beau and his fear of her, like how much of that is real? How, and I guess that goes to the place of like, I don't know what's real or what's created, like was part of that created for the show to create tension and conflict? Or was that like a real moment where he like really felt like he needed to avoid telling her because there is something in Stassi he's scared of? And that's like real. If that's true, that's deeply concerning.
There is a thread throughout the whole show that everyone's sort of scared of Stassi. And then when they do try to go to her and speak to her, because I want to bring in Georgie, her sister, she writes her that letter and reads mm-hmm. it to her. And she's like, you know, obviously talking throughout the show, she's scared of her, blah, blah, blah. And Stassi turns everything around to be like, you're trying to be a victim. You're trying to be a victim. And with the cancellation of it all, it's like, I mean, I want to dive into that and not in this thought, but like the way she continues to center herself as the victim in that situation and not actually address anything that happens. It's so interesting that she then...
But it's her mother, right? Like, it's exactly what her mother does.
Well, and the whole money piece of it, because you brought that up too. My whole thing, the whole time I was watching the show, was like, she keeps bringing up, I paid for your marriage and your divorce. I paid for this. I paid for that. I paid for my mom's life. I'm like, first of all, I was like, how much does this bitch make? She makes a lot of money. She supports all these people. And then I was like, my second thought after that, because I was like, I want to be on Stassi's payroll, was, okay, so you pay these people money, but it's in a way to control them, because you want to then say to Georgie, I paid for your marriage and divorce, so you need to be a beck and call, available to me, not complain, not have any feelings of your own. That's what it came off to me like.
But I get the sense that her mom is like that. Like, even in the scene, which I thought was like probably one of my favorite scenes of the whole thing, was the conversation between her and her mom. And she's kind of confronting her mom of like, it feels like you only show me care when I'm in crisis, when something bad is happening, and that you would like or wouldn't like, but would feel more like needed if me and Beau were in crisis. Like and she really did a good job trying to like articulate, like, I don't think you want me and Beau to have a problem, but I recognize that something that like happens for you, mom, is that like you thrive when I have problems, and when I'm not having a problem and need you because I'm having a problem, then you get critical, demanding, and rejecting of me. Like, I feel like you don't like me when I don't have a problem.
I want to break this down because I truly kind of didn't understand really what was happening. Because you have Georgie sort of being like, I'm more the perfect daughter for her because I'm sensitive and emotional and we can share emotions and have this, like, you know, it almost made me think in my head, like the in the bed cuddle sessions, you know, and like Stassi would never have the in the bed cuddle sessions. Mm-hmm. And then Nick is sort of in this place of like, you're mean to mom. Like, mm-hmm. And he's like defending their mom.
I think Georgie and Nick are very much like protectors and defenders of mom. And Stassi is very much similar to mom. Like, she has a similar personality to mom. I think Georgie is wrong about like me and mom are more similar. I think Stassi and mom are more similar. I think because Georgie is so like sensitive and needy, like I get the sense that Georgie's very needy.
Yeah.
That mom is able to relate to her on a more one-to-one way, where because she sees, you know, Stassi sees so much of herself in mom and mom sees so much of herself in Stassi, it causes them to have a very like critical and rejecting relationship. And then I think Nick kind of comes in as the one who like feels like he's supposed to protect. And gets in this position of like getting in between mom and Stassi to protect mom.
But even like, I feel like when you're saying that they're similar to me, it's like with her, with the money situation, it is kind of like,
well, it's the same thing. She likes being needed, right? Like,
yeah,
she, I think part of the money is like, she sees her value in the family as like, everyone needs me because I financially take care of everyone. And that's the same thing as mom. She can't be needed in that way. Or maybe she was at some point. I'm remembering that scene where she brings in like season one or two, where she brings what was that terrible guy who did the sex video of her?
Frank.
She brings that guy to meet her mom and her dad, which I think is her stepdad at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, you're not a Democrat, are you? And he's like, oh, no, of course not.
Oh, my God.
You don't remember that?
No, I do. It's like opening a portal in my mind of like.
And they're at like a fancy club. And like clearly she had a lot of money through relationships. And I think that's part of Stassi's probably center of control, is she saw her mom kind of like needing relationships to give her financial stability. And that may have led to like a lot of speculation on my part. That might have led to mom being in more unhealthy relationship dynamics. And I think that's part of the control she ends up putting into the relationship dynamic with Bo, is she feels power and control in being the money maker and being in the position she's in. And it's very safe to see Bo kind of home taking care of the kids. And if he were to go to work, I think that would too much represent a dynamic that like feels out of her control.
Well, it's interesting. You had texted me at some point during watching it, like, she's got crazy boundaries. I've never like whatever. And it is interesting to me because she does have these boundaries where it's sort of like, I'll cut you out. Like, what was that Thanksgiving with her family? Where she was,
well, she does a lot of like the splitting. It's like either you're on my side and we're good, or you're not and you're gone.
But she doesn't have any healthy boundaries of like.
No, they're extreme.
Yeah. Well, also just like when you pay someone, that creates a very complicated dynamic when you're supporting their lifestyle. And that's how she is with Georgie. It's like, she's like, I'm going to pay.
But it's one she feels in control of. Yeah. She's like, if I'm paying you, then I get to control you. But and then that's why her and Georgie fight, because Georgie's like, wait, no, you don't.
Well, it feels like she's like, I can be as mean to you as I want. And we see that. We see her being like very mean to Georgie throughout the whole show. And then her letter to her was so heartfelt. I don't know. Maybe because I just felt like Stassi was being so mean to her sister. I felt like Georgie's letter was very heartfelt, sharing how she really felt. And then Stassi was just like, you're making yourself the victim. And it's not that. And I was like, you really didn't take in anything she had to say.
But I think that's true. And I bet even watching it from an executive, when she was in her like executive producing chair, she probably still looked at that and was like, I was right to respond that way.
And with Bo, too, it seems like a very similar scenario.
I think she cannot take in, because I think here's another sort of hypothesis I have about her family dynamic, is that her mom used emotions in order to control people. And in order to like get what she wanted. And so I think Stassi has a hard time seeing vulnerability as vulnerability and looks at it as manipulation, because that's what her mom did. And she isn't able to build the discrepancy between like what is true vulnerability and what is manipulative vulnerability or weaponized vulnerability.
Yes, yes. Because every time there was a conversation that got to a vulnerable place, it became either everyone's attacking me, they're making themselves the victim.
And then she ends up engaging in weaponized vulnerability, right? Like she ends up kind of, again, like trauma repetition of like being in her mom's position where she's the one who like rejects everyone else's feelings, becomes demanding and critical. And then when she is vulnerable, she ends up weaponizing it instead of like actually being vulnerable.
Well, and that ending with her being like, I cannot believe they did this to me again. They will all pay. That was fucking, I know that was a scripted reality TV bite driven.
Sure.
Someone in a chair spent a lot of time writing those bites. And
it wasn't even very good either.
But they weren't very good. And to be honest, that was just
like we could have cut the last like 4 minutes of the show and just ended it with her and Bo in conflict with each other.
I know.
That would have been better. But
like
they'll live and they'll learn.
Well, the thing too is like something like that in Salt Lake City would be campy and funny. But like, this is about her family and her husband with children. Like, it wasn't campy and funny. It was kind of like, what is wrong with this human being that she would even say those words? Like, so now you're going to punish every, you don't barely even have anyone in your life that's not there because they're getting paid, which is goes back to the Katie.
Including Katie now.
Oh my God. I know. And we saw nothing of Katie's. I will say that that talk between them was one of the best, like, break the fourth wall moments, because she really did say, like, I loved Vanderpump Rules and it was like taken from me. But I want to go back to Stassi's anti-therapy. And I think it's really interesting that she married someone whose mom is like a therapist.
I always forget Bo's mom is a therapist, but it actually makes sense because I feel like he's, well, it's interesting because I feel like he's good at articulating his emotions. But I think in this relationship, because I'm going back to these moments in Vanderpump Rules where it feels like he had a real sense of autonomy. I'm remembering, I can't remember the exact episode, season, whatever was happening, but there was a season where she was like dark passengering,
yeah,
being a fool. And he was like, Stassi, you can't, like, he really kind of confronted her on it in a both like loving and like, I love you, but like, this ain't okay. And
he said something else that part of himself. If you want to be together and start a family and do all the things that we plan on doing, you cannot act like this.
Right.
I will not be with you. And it was so, it was so strong. Yeah. And I didn't see that, Bo.
Yeah, it feels like we had, yeah, it's kind of sad. It's really sad to see Bo. Like, I felt really like Bo was broken.
Bo is like, so broken.
Deeply, like, and whether some of that is manufactured for the show or not, like, he, there's something that has been broken in him and he is afraid of her. I get the sense that he is really afraid of activating her and has to, I want to give him the book, Stop Walking on Eggshells.
Well, it's interesting because Stassi almost has that, like, Lindsay Hubbard quality too, right?
She does.
But because when she does have that conversation,
which maybe we are kind of talking about borderline personality traits, but I am not here to diagnose. I have not evaluated them clinically, but there may be some traits there to talk about.
Yeah, because when she actually opened up to him about her fear of abandonment and, yeah, not feeling safe and her family, there was something that I really related to, again, mm-hmm, like Lindsay Hubbard, that I really related to her struggle and why, but like, how she's going about it is really hurting not only her relationship, but Bo, like, as a person. Like, this is a deflated human that we watched. Like, you, even visually, this person is not okay.
Well, and I think what's hard for Stassi about therapy and about this dynamic with Bo especially is, I think any feedback that might be perceived as, like, critical of her, she, like, she does see as an attack and as criticism and has a hard time taking in. And so then gets into like a defensive where either, again, she like weaponizes her vulnerability. She like gets onto an attack, or she defends through like humor, dismissal, right? We see her very clear, you know, go to Gottman's defenses of the perceived attack. And so I think what she experiences in therapy, and she said, like, I can't remember what she said, like, on the days that we have couples therapy, I just like feel terrible. And it's like she's raring up for, I'm going to get attacked because I'm going to have to start like to reflect on myself. And any self-reflection feels like an attack on me.
Which, you know, I mean, I mean, if anyone's been through their own therapy experience, I want to like say I didn't feel like that's totally invalid. Like, anytime I went to couples therapy, it was like super stressful. I knew it was going to be like kind of a bad day. And like, it's only recently that me and my husband are really trying to work on tools of just speaking to each other kindly. And but like, when you're in that state of like there's active conflict and then you're going to a third party, like, I do feel like that is stressful. And like, when I was doing therapy weekly, like, I got a lot out of it, and it was very like, I did feel better afterwards, but there was times also where I just felt like tired of myself talking and kind of like, you go through emotion. So like, I don't want to invalidate that she is like maybe scared, or maybe it's also just like not for her, but like, it's just interesting because everyone on the
show. Usually anyone who says it's not for them actually needs it deeply. I agree with you. I think it's totally normal to find therapy to be exhausting, and to get activated before and after a therapy session is normal. But I think the way she was putting it was like, almost like, that's not tolerable for me. And one, it makes me think like you should be talking to your couples therapist about that so they can pace things differently and make sure we're staying in your window of tolerance.
Interesting.
But also something she could work on with an individual therapist. But her unwillingness to, I think it's not so much about therapy. It's really about her trust with herself and her trust to like not be in control, because I think that's like what people experience, and probably even what you're experiencing to some degree is like, oh, like I have to just talk about myself and reflect on myself and see what comes up without trying to like control or manage or like keep it contained in some way. And that's really scary and feels, again, outside of my window of tolerance. But I don't think like therapy has to look like something that's outside of your window of tolerance. I think if you find the right therapist that like aligns with you and you feel comfortable and safe with, there's a way to, you know, work on tolerating some vulnerability in a contained way. And, you know, Stassi, call me girl.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not licensed in California, so you'd have to come to New York, but like, call me girl.
Yeah.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I want to briefly talk about the cancellation, because I think that is a good example of a lot of what we're talking about, of her not being able to tolerate criticism. Her saying she's changed while actually showing absolutely no change. No addressing of what actually happened.
Right. She's saying, I did this work on myself, which is like interesting, because like, who did you do that work with if you weren't going to therapy?
From what I remember from her book that she talked about, she worked with like race related, I don't know, coaching. That's what all these people did.
Well, your whole cast is white.
Right.
And performatively, you bring,
they hired,
or no, but I'm saying performatively, like, you bring on the Vanderpump Villa person of color to have that conversation,
which
with,
in itself was so fucking insulting,
in a very performative way, and felt a little bit like microaggressions in and of itself.
Literally that.
Where it's like, if anything, I would have liked her to have conversations with her friends and be like, wow, like we don't have a lot of people of color in our experience. Like, that's crazy. You know, like, let's talk about that. Let's be vulnerable about like, that, you know, we mostly move in white spaces, and that has created bias, or right, like an ability to engage in unconscious microaggressions that I want to be conscious of. Like, but no, she hasn't really done any work. She's still centering only her own experience. And
where was Faith? Why couldn't they get Faith to be on the show?
Yeah.
Maybe she didn't even want to do it, but like,
yeah, if I were Faith, I would not want to like give this woman a platform, and that would be get like supporting her platform.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, again, maybe it's her sending an email to her asking her and then processing the fact that she said no. If we're again, if we're breaking the fourth wall, then do something with it.
I think it goes back to the vulnerability of it all. Like, she doesn't want, like, she wants to be so in control that she doesn't want to create something where people could criticize her. And yet, like, she ends up creating things that people can criticize her. And I think that that will get tired, and that she is going to need to give up some control to let other people, like, I want to see Katie's world with her new boyfriend. And, you know, I want to see Georgie and Rob having an affair. I even am open to seeing the Taylors navigate being moms, and one of them not being their biological child, and the struggle of maybe attachment around that, or insecurities about your attachment. And yeah, like, I do kind of want to see that stuff, but I don't know that this is the place where we're going to get that. And yeah, I'll be curious, like, how how long can her and Bo be in conflict about gender roles and that stay interesting?
No, I totally agree. And we actually talked about this on the pod before it even came out, mm-hmm. about sort of that concept of like, you have the cast of characters and whatever's happening in their lives, and then you have the container that said thing goes in. And right now with the first season and how they established that container, it's Stassi and only Stassi, and it's only about Stassi, and every scene needs to be about Stassi.
Which maybe made sense for the first season.
And then I said, I don't know that that's sustainable. And now that I've watched the show, I can tell you, I don't feel that that's sustainable. Because again, like,
I don't hate it for the first season. Like, if I'm like really kind of reviewing, like, I didn't hate it for a lead in into it. Like, you've bought me in. And now where do we go from here?
Yeah. And, you know,
like, just similar to what I feel about like the editing style and the breaking the fourth wall. Like, OK, I'm here. I'm watching. I can appreciate it for like, this is a really interesting first try. And now, like, where do we develop and grow from here?
And I've worked on a lot of first season shows. I'm on one right now. And I will say that, like, that conversation of, like, how much can an audience take in is, like, is very much a cycle of the notes that we get, the feedback we get, the changes we get. Because oftentimes, you do kind of just need to consume it in an easy, consumable way to then get into it, which makes mm-hmm. first season so tricky, because you need to understand the characters, understand the container, understand things, and invest while also the drama and stuff keeping. So I do think there was an effort by them to say, let's make this concept be it. And you might be right. I will say on the cancellation part of it, I think it was strategic. Disney and Hulu didn't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. That Vanderpump Villa girl who came on was doing Stassi a service there. But by not addressing it was worse, I think, than just addressing it. And to me, she didn't address it at all. And then the only scene we really got about it was in the cemetery when she's like, I got canceled and it was so horrible, blah, blah, blah. Horrible for you. Let's talk about the issue, which was you got canceled because Black people getting shot by the police, like, that they are dead. But real accountability was like, yes, I lost my place on a reality show. And yes, I lost a book deal for 2 months because then I got another book deal where I wrote about how I handled my cancellation. Right. But like, she didn't get canceled. Nothing happened to her. Now she has a show that she's in control of. She's in a position now that few reality stars will ever get. Like, and then to
see, well, she wasn't lost any of her power. She lost a little bit of money, but she didn't lose any of her power.
She has more power than most reality stars will ever dream of, being an EP of your own Hulu show.
Mm-hmm.
You know how hard it is to even just sell a show, let alone then the cast gets to control the edit? Like, mm-hmm. that's insane. And then for you to be like, I was canceled. Like, no, people are dying. People died. Like, this is not comparable. And the fact that she can't even take accountability to be like, hey, whatever happened to me is nothing and compared to what happens to Black people in our country. Mm-hmm. That should have been fucking simple.
And no, but she can't, because that would be like being like, there's a vulnerability there of admitting that, like, she played a role in like systemic oppression and that she continues to. And she can't, like, she won't do that. She can't do that. It's outside of her window of tolerance. And again, there is this thing of like, she can only, and even I think about the work she did with, like, you know, the racial injustice person, like,
your coach help coach her in a proper way.
Well, the thing is, it's so still centered around herself. Like, she's like, I have to do something in order to say I did something, in order to write a book, in order to like win myself back. That, like, none of it is coming from like a outside, like, care. Like, I don't think I get a sense that she has no idea what her morals or values are, and that they're all from a place of like, what serves me.
Yeah, I mean, even with the money thing, like, I get it when she sat with Bo and was like, if you just did posts, like, I'm sure Bo would make more on one post.
But it's not about money. She's missing the point. Exactly. It wasn't about money. Yeah. He doesn't care about the money. And that's a mind blowing to her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, or it's not even like a, she can't even see past that. And that's her moral. That's really sad. And it makes me wonder about like what their, you know, what their relationship is. Like, what is it about her that he's attracted to? Other than like, obviously she's beautiful. She can be funny. I guess that's like probably something, but like their deeper values feel like, I don't know, misaligned. And I don't really know what's in her heart. And so I'm just saying it based on like what, obviously I don't know this person as a whole person.
I think right now their relationship feels very rooted in both of us didn't have the childhood that we wanted. So we're going to do anything to create this like perfect life. But there's nothing deeper happening between them.
Right.
In a way that would actually make that sustainable.
Right.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
So do you think reality TV is good for Stassi?
No. I think she said it. I think she, and I say that so definitively, I don't know. But she said, I think it was like in a podcast after she got canceled, or I can't remember, or maybe it was before that. She had said that every time a couple months before Vanderpump Rules starts, I get a lot of anxiety because I start thinking about how I have to like be in the mindset of like kind of creating drama. And I feel like she has this inner like dark passenger that reality TV rewards. And I think that she is in this new phase of life with children. And I could see that being like, I don't know. I think about her daughter watching this show when she's older and seeing her mom like miss her father expressing true vulnerability. And like, what do you internalize from that?
Okay, so I have a different take because I feel like what we saw on the show was not just what they filmed in those 6 weeks. Like the state that Bo was in was clearly like years built up, right? That's how I felt. Mm-hmm. And like, I think reality TV really forces her to have to analyze things that I think in regular life she would ignore or address. Like, because you were saying about the job interview, like clearly so much avoidance is happening, right? Mm-hmm. And I think she was using the show.
But is that good for her or good for Bo? Like, it's kind of forcing Bo to not be as avoidant.
Well,
but I don't know. She's still meeting it with like nothing. Like, she's still like,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
begrudgingly for like letting him, I guess, like, which feels weird to be like, I'm letting you go back to work. Like,
well, that's why I'm interested in season two, because again, like, I don't think she's a person who can take in feedback, vulnerability, all these things that you're saying. 100% agree. And in this show atmosphere, in a way, it's interesting she's reached this point as being an executive producer of the show because she has control, and yet it's still out of her control. And there's something very interesting in that that's going to force her to observe and make, again, she's making decisions of what ends up in the show as she's making the show. And the problem with that is that, you know, everyone wants that EP role because they think, oh, I can make myself look better, or I could do this, or I could do that. But when you're actually in it creatively, things don't make sense when you just start pulling things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like, in a way, I know she's a good EP because she left all this stuff in the show, because you wouldn't have a show if you didn't make Stassi look bad, because the show is about Stassi and the show is about Stassi looking bad. Like, that's what the show is about. So I don't know. I think it's kind of forcing her, again, because if she stepped back and she was just an influencer, I think all these things would be happening, but she would be portraying on the internet this perfect, you know, and she wouldn't ever have to address it because she doesn't even want to go to therapy. So I don't know. I think reality TV is her therapy in a very unhealthy way, but like she may never do it otherwise. And yeah,
okay. Maybe that is that.
Maybe that's better for Bo than her. But like, you know, anything that forces you to change is maybe good for you.
Something, yeah.
And I think Stassi is a really good. I mean, she gives me, again, Bethany Frankel. She gives me Lindsay Hubbard. Like, she's good for reality TV. She's a hot fucking mess. I mean, that show, that both.
There is something that she's willing to bear it. Like, she's willing to, like, show her family. Like, she, yeah. But I think she is kind of thinking she gets to be in control of it and she's going to get to control the narrative, i.e. Kris Jenner. I don't think that's going to be true. And I hope, you know, I'm with you in that I hope that what happens is it forces her to self-reflect on something, or it forces her to like move towards something more uncomfortable that could potentially lead to real growth.
Which I think we hit on something very clear that like we do need solo scenes with these other people. We need more of their life. And I think part of that is because, again, a solo scene with them, I mean, even the scene, I guess we get that scene with all of them plotting the boat confrontation, you know, but I don't know. The show needs to be built out a little bit more in order for me to continue to be interested in it. Because I did think the characters that they brought on, I mean, I know I always say characters, but they're real people. Georgie, I loved. Rob was interesting to me. Katie was really good on the show. I will give her that. You were right. She ended up being the star.
Changed. I've turned her.
Yeah, she was. She did kind of end up being the star of the show. I'm not going to lie on that.
Yes. And I feel like I was kind of right that I feel like, and maybe this wasn't your experience of it, that like she hasn't fully, I think part of her has changed a little for her boyfriend, but like that I feel like she's fully in herself. I feel like I get the sense that she seems so confident, so grounded, so just like in who she is in a way that it didn't feel like she got to be in Vanderpump Rules.
Or with Schwartz. No, definitely not.
Yeah.
Any other tea from the Bravoverse you want to... I will say, like, okay, I could do a whole pod on the Valley reunion, but I'm too exhausted to even, like, want to.
Well, I'm curious what you think about the Valley versus the Stassi show, like, because it feels like this could be just as dark because we're dealing with, like, families and children and, like, similar, like, ideas. And yet it's not, like, to me, even, like, what's happening between Stassi and Bo, even if they got divorced, which I would feel sad if they did, like... that would not feel as dark as any, right? Like the things that they're showing on the Valley.
I guess it was drama with Brittany and Jax like this week. I just can't with either of them. I feel like their situation's so toxic and it's on both sides, unfortunately. I mean, I will, of course, take Brittany's side and she is the victim in this because he is truly abusive.
She could just say like that situation's toxic. I can't comment on it. I don't want to create more drama for myself.
Yeah, and she really needs to stop. I mean, the people interview, again, like she needs to start choosing her own life over drama for entertainment. And I'm genuinely concerned about her. Like, I don't think that's healthy. So with the Valley, when you talk about the darkness, one thing I felt from the reunion is... the container, because we've been talking a lot about container versus cast and how it all plays into each other. I feel like the container for the Valley is truly broken. Like, it does not make sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like the Danny confrontation, I mean, as much as, like, I want to hate Danny and Nia, it's like then they say things that I honestly understand. Like, Danny being like, I was up all night with a talk. Like, they have... 4 kids under 4. Like, that is insanely hard. When Stassi's like, my kids are hard. That is insanely hard. And what I don't think people understand is like, okay, yeah, you got one bad night of sleep, 4 hours, 3 hours, whatever. What people don't understand that don't have kids or whatever, when you have 4 hours, 3 hours of unsustainable, like no sleep for months and you don't know when you will ever sleep 8 hours again. That is a mental mind fuck. And yes, I don't like the way Danny spoke to Nia, but do I think my husband has spoken to me like that since we had our baby a couple times? Yeah. And if it was caught on film, would he be getting torn apart? Yeah. But like, I'm not talking about the drag moment. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the little things when he was like, oh, you know, oh, I have to put the baby down, whatever, whatever. Was he being an asshole? Yeah, he was. But like the way they were acting was like he was a, like he was not present and whatever. And I just, I, and then he said that thing. And then Jasmine was like, well, you guys make kids an excuse and da, da, da. These women were 4 months postpartum. Not even like three. I think they started filming at 3 months postpartum. And then, you know, they had four kids in Luke and Kristen had the first kid. And her saying that, whether there is some truth in what she said, which there was too, and I'm not discounting that, she clearly didn't fucking know. And to me, that conversation would have been so much more interesting if it was all people with kids. Because then we could have a real conversation. I felt like it doesn't make sense. They have these people who are going through a totally different experience of life than other people, and they're just casually friends for a TV show. Like, what are we watching?
Like, well, and I feel like it feels like this, like, beating a dead horse. Well, and there's no, like, as, like, a couples therapist, like, I want them to come in and slow down and talk to Danny from an I instead of a you place.
Yeah.
Like, none of them, even, like, Lala, who I feel like...
She really needed to shut up during that.
I feel like at first it felt like she was trying to do something that felt helpful. And then it felt like now it's like, again, you're beating a dead horse. You're not, like, coming at it from a different way. You're just, like, continuing to beat it till it's dead. And, like,
but it didn't
that's
make any
not
flashbacks
interesting
of her,
to watch.
Flashbacks of her being in that reunion with fucking Raquel? Like, why are you talking so much? Why
even her saying, like, I feel like she was trying to use an I statement and saying I'm triggered, but it was so aggressive and it didn't actually come from like a, there was no like slowing down to talk about the trigger. It was just like, I'm triggered. You're doing this. And where like, what would happen if it's like, oh my gosh, I'm really uncomfortable. Like there's something happening between you and Nia that I don't really know, but it's like triggering something for me that I don't know if that's what's like, this just like slowing down of like, it's making me feel uncomfortable. And like, I don't know what your intentions are, but I want to just like slow this down and find out what's going on between the two of you. It was like, no, I've decided that I see what's going on here and what you're doing and like, da, 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 da. And like, some of it might be true. But if you slow it down and come from a more like, and you've kind of talked about this before of like kind of stepping back and letting him just like prove it, because he's probably like this and probably going to prove you all right anyway.
Yeah.
That you end up making him look like the victim by continuing to like come at it from an attack lens instead of a, hey, like this feels, or even Janet, like there's so much she has said that's valid, but she comes at it from such like a defensive place that it ends up making her look like the problem.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, on camera we've only seen you physically attack him by throwing mm-hmm. a cup at him.
Right.
We never saw whatever happened with Jasmine. We mm-hmm. only saw you physically attack him and he had no reaction. He got up and walked away.
And so I think Danny is probably like a bad dude. Like I get the sense that he's not like a good, there's a reason everyone is activated by him. And maybe it means he needs to go, but like without him, like what is the show? Like, do we want to watch like just Lala and Michelle and Janet going to lunch together? Like, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, Janet needs to go because she brings nothing to the show. But yeah, I do think the show needs to be about people who have kids who live in the valley, because that makes sense. What's happening now does not make any sense. Like, I don't even understand the content of these conversations because these people do not relate to each other.
It's all too dark.
Yeah.
Decided.
Well, thank you for listening. If you have more thoughts on House of Stassi or anything we talked about, follow us on Instagram. And we love you guys.
We'll see you in the fall.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's PRENUVO.com.